This is the official podcast for casual anime fanatics. On today's episode, we're talking about Chainsaw Man Episode 9, titled From Kyoto. Hello anime fans and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. I'm your host Jordo, and here with me as always is my co-host and kin, the oldest brother Colton. It is late on a Tuesday night. Sorry, it's Wednesday, isn't it? Shit.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Late on a but we've got high energy. For all of our listeners out there, because it was a great episode yet again.
Yeah.
But how are you doing, Colton, other than Chainsaw Man watching?
Oh, doing good. I watched it, Chainsaw Man and Mob Psycho, about an hour ago. So, just getting my fill of my anime.
Yeah, I finished the episode of Chainsaw Man about 5 minutes ago. So, it was... It was one of those episodes where I felt like a lot happened, and so it felt like a long episode.
I thought it was too short. It's like, shit.
I mean, yeah, I would have wanted more, but I get why they can't. Sometimes that's one of the things I like about anime is because how short the episodes are, it feels like it's easier to binge, even though it's really not because you're just getting less, but... You know, if you're fighting sleep at night, but you want to get a couple episodes in, you don't have to commit to 2 hours of watching. You can just commit to 40 minutes and you can get a couple episodes in.
Yeah. And I found Made in Abyss on Hulu, the movie, so I was like, shit, I need to watch those. I thought about watching it after this. I was like, and it was like 2 hours long. I was like, nah, I can't.
I know. It's one of the things, it's an unintended consequence of watching anime is you get used to really short episodes. And then when you watch a show that has like when I watched Rings of Power, like getting used to watching a TV show that has like an hour and 10 minute episodes, it's like, yeah. It's completely different. Like the attention span that I have is not that long.
Yeah. Like you get used to watching 30 minute or 23 minute shows.
Yeah.
And anything else is just
with
like,
an opening and an ending song to keep you hyped up in between too.
Yeah.
But if this is your first time listening, welcome to our weekly Chainsaw Man episode. Every week, us casual anime fanatics dive deep into the newest episode of this boob-crazed, devil-hunting anime called Chainsaw Man. So tell everyone you know who's watching this show to tune into That Anime Podcast. New episodes are released every Wednesday, late Wednesday. For example, this episode's probably dropping a little bit before midnight. Depending on how long we record. But as far as anime I've been watching, it's been basically just Chainsaw Man, My Hero Academia, To Your Eternity, and I caught back up on Spy Family because I was like 4 weeks behind. I didn't realize.
And Blue Lock, right?
And Blue Lock.
Yeah.
And I want to start Bocchi the Rock just to see what it's about because it ranks pretty well on every week on your Crunchyroll rankings.
Yeah, it's always there.
It's always there, right behind My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
But, okay, so are you ready for us to go ahead and just dive into the synopsis and then break down this episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So here's the synopsis according to Crunchyroll. A fierce battle unfolds between Denji and the menacing Samurai Sword. But even after Denji takes one of Samurai Sword's companions hostage...
They call him Samurai Sword?
That's what they call him, Samurai Sword.
I
kind of
did
Sword.
Some Googling. They call him Katana Man in the Japanese.
Well, I just English, that's yeah. yet another reason why English sucks, because they messed that up and called him Samurai Sword.
Yeah. They call him
Samurai Sword slashes through them both until Denji is captured. Meanwhile, after seemingly being killed, Makima turns out to be alive. She sets out to rescue Denji with the help of public safety devil hunters from Kyoto, Kurose, and Tendo. Yeah, I can't believe, of all the names they could have chosen, they just go with Samurai Sword.
Samurai.
They should have just gone with Sword, because he doesn't even look... Even Katana isn't fitting. The blades are way too big.
Yeah, they are.
These are like
swords.
Medieval. These are like knight crusader dual wielding swords. Yeah. Or like two handed swords.
Yeah, those are heavy swords. Heavy blade.
Samurai Sword is a terrible name. But that's what the synopsis calls it. So for the sake of everybody else calling it that, because that's what people are going to call it, we're just going to call him Samurai Sword.
Yeah.
Agree to disagree?
Agree.
All right. So the episode starts off. It's the fight again that happened last week. Himeno's made that deal with the ghost arm devil, or just the ghost devil, that she'll give the ghost everything if the ghost gives her everything in return. And I kind of thought that she got screwed on that deal, but then we see later that the ghost had one last ditch effort to bring Denji into the fight, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, she used the last of her power to make the Chainsaw Man come out.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like they were really wanting us to see that Samurai Sword has blue blood. I feel like they were like shoving it in our face. Like, we get it, his blood is blue.
I thought that was the ghost devils when he was stabbing them.
Was it the ghost devils?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh,
because he had the red all over him too. It was the ghost devils. Because he's just like Denji. He still got red.
You're right. They were shoving that in our face that there's blue blood everywhere. I forget that was the ghost devil.
Yeah.
There's some eye contact made between Himeno and Aki that we didn't get last week, and that's when she says, "Don't die on me, Aki, so that when I die, you can cry for me." And the blonde girl who we learn her name is Sawatari, that's what it is. Sawatari. She says, "Snake, swallow it whole." But she does not make like a snake arm. She just basically points.
Yeah.
And we didn't see this last week. Did you see what happened when she called, when she summoned it? So it takes one of her fingernails. So her fingernail, right when it summoned, it like her fingernail ripped off and dissolved.
Yeah, I did see that now. I didn't put the two and two together though. But now it makes sense.
So not really a bad. That's a pretty good little pact. That's a lot of power just to get a little fingernail ripped off.
Right. Well, once the whole thing's gone and they don't grow back, it's like it takes a piece of it, it'll grow back every time. But if it takes the whole thing, it's done.
I think they do. I think that they'll grow back even if you take the whole thing.
No, my father-in-law has his whole big toe nail gone and it doesn't grow back.
I'm just curious at what that looks. So it just looks like
it's just skin underneath. It's now just
so there's just, it doesn't even look like a toe without a toenail. It doesn't even look like a toe.
Well, you can see the old outline of one, but like it's just dried up, like it's skin now, like, yeah.
That's awesome. I did not know that was possible. Well, so she's limited to how many nails or how many times she can use the snake then, because she's only got 20 nails.
Yeah.
And she used two of them this episode. But pretty cool little power. And we also learned this episode that Sawatari, the blonde-haired girl, she's not as powerful as we thought.
No.
Makima's the real boss here.
Yeah. They made her look like OP last episode, and then she looked like a bitch this episode.
Yeah, she was shitting her pants just like she was making other people shit her pants. Like, the ghost devil said that she was, what did they say? That girl is
dangerous.
Trouble. She said she used a word that was like, oh, I wouldn't mess with her.
No, the fox devil.
I wonder what she'd have
about,
to say about Makima.
I don't know. Makima is something else too. Like, yeah.
I know she's, we'll talk about her, I'm sure, a lot this episode, because she's got some stuff going on.
Yeah.
Jimeno's gone, Aki's bleeding out, and Power apparently took off. She's fucking gone.
Fucking Power.
So much for helping, like, holding the blood for Aki or being a part of the team. She gone.
Yeah, she's been letting
me down.
I don't
know where she went.
She's been letting me down this series. Like, we haven't really seen much of what she does.
I mean, know.
We do, but, like, she don't do much. Like, she's just, like, there and then not there.
I know. I'm hoping she doesn't just become, like, you know how, like, Disney movies have the pet companion in every movie?
Yeah.
That there's just they're, like, there for comic relief. I'm really hoping that that's not what Power is. And, like, she's not going to have any growth or, like, be helpful in a fight. She's just always going to just be there to add comic relief.
Yeah.
Because if it is that type of character, I feel like this show could have done better than that, because everything else is amazing.
Yeah, because a blood devil, that would seem like a pretty powerful thing.
Oh, yeah, people are very afraid of blood.
Yeah.
People pass out just from seeing it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're like, the fiend ran away, is what Samurai Sword says, and the girl's like, that's fine, we're here after Chainsaw's heart anyways. So they're not worried about anything, they just want Chainsaw's heart. But we do not learn why they want Chainsaw's heart. So let me ask you, what do you think that they want with this thing?
Well, it's got to be like you said, the gun devil must see it as an enemy. And what's that guy, Katana or Sword, Samurai Sword, said that I thought all chainsaw peoples were gone. So that I don't know if there's like more of them before or like that.
No, he said, I know what you're talking about. He said all of the chainsaws people are dead, meaning like he can finally let down his guard because he was at his limit.
Okay. I thought he was saying there's like more of them, like followers or something, but
no,
I don't know. But you would think
so. I know this much: they want Chainsaw's heart, and they don't want Denji dead. So killing Denji and not dealing with Chainsaw Man isn't the issue. They want his heart somehow, or for some reason, they want his heart. They don't want him dead. So his heart holds some kind of power that would benefit the Gun Devil or whoever ordered this hit.
Well, I think the heart is where Poncha is.
Yeah, Poncha merged his body into, or he gave his heart, and his heart exists as Denji's heart because Denji was dead.
Right.
Poncha's heart is powering Denji's entire body. But we see the ghost hand, and it comes out of nowhere, and I was thinking for a second, like, oh shit, maybe Jimeno's still alive. But I think that this was just part of the contract, is that she gave up her entire life. The least it can do is this last-ditch effort. So it crawls its way over to Denji, and it pulls on Poncha's tail, and it wakes up the Chainsaw Man. Denji stands up, and he says, well, the Samurai Sword guy says, this time I'm going to split him in two, because they hear the chainsaws turning on. Which does kind of suck if you're Chainsaw Man. You can't sneak up on anybody.
Yeah.
You're freaking loud. You're just by existing, you're loud as shit.
Yeah. He's never going to hear you coming.
Sawatari. I'm going to mess that up. I already know it. Everybody, enjoy. Enjoy the ride, because I'm going to butcher that name every freaking time.
Yeah.
Sawatari. She says to Samurai Sword, don't damage the heart. So remember that. Now, Denji, behind a wall of smoke, all we hear is the chainsaws. He says, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it's easy enough to tell you two are bad guys. I love bad guys, you know. Nobody gives me any shit when I carve them up. And
starts doing
every time he transforms, yeah, when he transforms, he doesn't just become the Chainsaw Man. He, like, actually, his whole persona changes.
Yeah.
It's like the devil in Poncha. amplifies a crazy side of Denji that doesn't really exist when he's just human.
It's crazy.
It's very entertaining. And Samurai Sword, there was one scene where it looked like his blades didn't go between his fingers like Denji's. Looked like they were coming out of his wrist.
Yeah, you could see his whole hands were like, and like Denji, it splits in between his middle and ring finger.
So I noticed that too. And then later on when they're fighting, his katanas looked the exact same as Denji's. They were between his fingers. So I think that they might have messed up the animation on that.
Just messed up how the drawing style of it, probably.
Yeah. Another similarity or difference between them is that Samurai Sword, his teeth, because both of their heads, their necks and the backs of their heads look like they're made up of like wire.
Yeah.
Like, so they both have that. They both have teeth. You can't see their eyes, but Denji's got the shark style teeth and Samurai Sword just has flat, normal skeleton teeth.
Yeah.
Not near as cool looking. He's got the schoolboy, the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure hat.
Yeah, and jacket.
Yeah.
Joseph
Denji
Joestar.
Jumps in the air. He jumps in the air and he starts laughing and he screams, "Die." And just before they hit, the opening starts to play. So good. We go back, opening song ends. Sawatari, she radios that they're fighting the chainsaw on the third floor of the Nerima Nishidai building. She asks for some reinforcements, and this was our first hint that this girl's not as powerful as we think she is, because the chainsaw man just woke up. They already took him out once, and now it's just him versus both of them, and they had no problem fighting against the cursed devil that is Aki. Like, they took out Aki, who's, you know, he's definitely stronger than Denji. Like, he could have killed Denji easily with that sword.
Yeah. I don't know if, Denji can't really die unless you take his heart, it looks like. As long as his body's put together and given blood, he can live.
Yeah, he's got to keep drinking blood's the thing.
Yeah. I would have killed those guys anyway. When he was fighting Samurai Sword, I would have killed those guys and drank their blood.
Oh, the guys that pulled the guns on him?
Yeah.
Their blood probably tastes like shit.
I'm sure it all does.
Can't be worse than the vomit, though.
No.
Meanwhile, Aki is still bleeding out. They're making sure to show us that he's alive, but he is unable to fight. I think he basically got his guts opened up, and he's just holding them in as all of the blood just falls out of his body.
Yeah.
Chainsaw and Samurai, they're going at it, and as far as fighting skill, to me, it seemed like they were pretty equal. Like, they were both kind of blocking everything the other threw at them. And then some punks run up with some guns, and they're like, "Yo, boss, should we shoot him?" And the Samurai Sword says, "Aim for the arms or the heart." After he was just told, "Don't damage the heart." So already we see that there are different goals between this Samurai Sword guy and Sawatari, because he doesn't give a shit about the heart. He just wants to end Denji, I think. I thought that was interesting. Did you notice that he said that to the guy shooting?
Yeah, about, like, don't shoot the heart, shoot his legs and everything else.
No, he told him to aim for the arms or the heart. He told him, like, hit the heart or hit the arms. Don't hit anything else.
Huh. I wonder if that was a mistranslation, too, because she said not to.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a mistranslation. It's showing us that they have different ideals.
But she was there right next to him when he said that. Or she was
no,
close.
She wasn't able to hear that, though.
Huh. Yeah, maybe they do have different agendas. I didn't hear that, I guess. I just thought he said avoid it.
No, he said aim for the arms or the heart.
Huh.
And so Denji's fast as hell. Fast as fuck, boy. He hits both of the gunmen before they're able to even pull the trigger, which is one of the guys he's able to get a knee to the chin on, and then the other guy, I think he just tackles him, but he doesn't kill either one of them.
Oh, he should have.
I know. Part of me is just like, man, these guys just tried to shoot you. I mean, that's full permission. Go ahead and off them. You're a devil hunter after all. You're sanctioned by the state.
Yeah, he should have offed him.
So the samurai sword and Denji, they go back to fighting. Denji's like, "What? Wait a minute. When did I get cut? When did he even cut me?" I think that was supposed to be like the first hit that, or hint that samurai sword is actually really fast. And then one of the punks that Denji didn't kill starts shooting at Denji, so he decides to take him hostage, and he's like, "If you move one little inch, I'll freaking turn your boy's face into some hamburger meat." And Samurai Sword says, "Asshole," and then he squats down, and Denji's like, "Yeah, that's right, you better sit down, bitch." And then Samurai Sword pulls off the ultimate anime move, the disappearing slice, where you end up behind your opponent, and then their body splits into two while they're still left wondering what the hell just happened.
Yep. He got his ready stance, like the Hinokami Kagura, how hard they bend down.
Yep. And you know what's shitty is, like, Denji, I guess he was unconscious, but, like, this exact same move happened to Aki last episode.
Yeah, he got two people.
This guy's a one-trick pony, man. The disappearing slice is all he has.
Well, it's two for two right now, so.
Yeah, it's good odds. He picks up Denji by the chainsaw after his body's split in two. He's, like, literally carrying him around like a chainsaw because he's got that little handle on the back of his head.
Yeah.
He tells the guy, "Let's move him. Get the car now," to the other guy. He goes, gets the car. And then this is when he says, "All of the chainsaw's people should be gone or should be dead." And he starts to transform back into the human form because he basically, the coast is clear and he can't hold it any longer. But his form changes differently than when Denji's does, because when Denji's changes, it retracts back into him. The chainsaws. This samurai sword guy, all of the devil or swords parts of him fell off like pudding.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. It's like it melted off.
Yeah, it was like clay.
We've seen Denji almost hit when his comes off too. It looks. I can't remember.
When Denji's comes off, it just retracts back into him like Wolverine.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it's like, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't recall ever, like,
yeah, I don't remember seeing any goop or anything, but I was trying to think I know we've seen it, but I just couldn't remember.
Yeah. Samurai Sword says, "I guess devil hunters are still human, meaning they can't win against guns." And I stared at that line for a while. And it just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, in the end, all the devil hunters are human. Still, if someone shoots you with their gun, you ain't gonna, more than likely.
But what the hell is he talking about? Like, is he saying because of all the devil hunters that they killed with the guns?
Yeah, it didn't make sense why he said it at that time, like when he's fighting Denver.
I know, yeah, I'm like, dude, what the fuck does this have to do with anything right now?
Yeah.
You didn't kill a single person with the gun that you brought into that ramen shop. You tried to kill Denji and Himeno with it, but you didn't. That isn't what killed either one of them.
No.
I don't know. It felt like a very out of place line. Then we see Eirai. He's laying dead in the street. Then they show us three more devil hunters whom we don't know. I think that there are people that were at that little shindig that they had.
I don't remember the. One guy looked like from Jujutsu Kaisen with the haircut. I was like, shit. What's his name? What was his name? God. Main character.
Oh, Akatsu? Oh, you're talking about Itadori.
Yeah, Itadori Yuji, yeah. Looked like him next to the old guy.
Yeah, but, it did. Yeah. But we don't see Kobanai, and I noted that, and we find out later it's because she's a survivor.
Yeah.
Then we go over to Makima. She's dead as all hell. And then we go, and we're seeing all the guys that shot her. They're, like, holding Congress in the middle of this train that they just murdered somebody in, and all the civilians are just like, oh, guns, guns. Right. And they're just like, yeah, let's... They're like, let's split up and hide among the civvies in different cars. And then whenever we get off in Kyoto, let's all just book it out of here.
Yeah.
And next thing they know, Makima's standing behind them. What in the hell do you think could have happened with Makima? We saw her get shot at point blank range.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, we saw what her power is, or one of them. We don't know how many contracts she has, but it didn't even look like when she used it, it took anything away from her. But she's either something like Denji, or something that we haven't seen yet, or...
I'm very confused about how she doesn't have any bullet wounds.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to... Nobody really knows anything about her, really.
Yeah.
From what it's showing in the show.
We know she's strong as hell.
Yeah.
Over in Kyoto, some guy comes up to tell Tendo that Special Divisions 1 through 4 have all come under assault in Tokyo. So these two devil hunters that we meet for the first time, Tendo is the girl, she's the big one, and then Kurose is the boy, he's the little one, and they have matching scars.
They must have
noticed that.
Yeah, I think they got like sliced together or something at the same time.
No, I think that it's like it's something to do with the Kyoto devil hunters, because that Madoka guy that came at the end had the same fucking scar too.
Oh, did he?
The guy that resigned. Yeah. Oh,
I didn't see that. But he had one.
This Tendo and Kurose guy, I was trying to think, are they in the opening or the at all? Because if they are not, then I have a feeling that we're never going to see them again after this episode.
I don't remember seeing them at all during, unless they're in the movie theater somewhere. That's the only scene I would think of, but
yeah,
I don't think we've ever seen them in the opening or anywhere.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, anyways, they're waiting at the train when it arrives in Kyoto. And people, as soon as it stops, people are sprinting out. They're like, guns. And out walks Makima covered in blood. And they're like, whoa, are you okay? You're covered in blood. And she's like, oh, it's not mine. And they're like, were you shot? And she's like, no, I wasn't. But she tells them there was a shooting on the train. The bodies are still on there. So take care of them. The lunch meeting is canceled. She tells them the blood isn't hers and that she wasn't shot. And then we see the four guys in the train that tried to pull off the hit on her. They all have very large holes about the size of a cannonball right through the center of their stomachs. So we know she's got this smashing power. We know she's able to cheat death. And now we have to assume she also has the ability to just punch holes in people with some kind of tentacle or ghost arm or something.
Yeah, they had massive holes in them.
I mean, how many freaking... She's such a mystery.
Yeah, she's got to have...
I do feel like after this episode that it's unlikely she is a villain.
I don't know, man. The more we see her, the more I think that, I don't know, it's hard to say.
Because if she was a villain,
I think she likes the chainsaw.
Why would she have killed all those people that were working with the gun devil to get the chainsaw heart?
Yeah.
And why is she going after the gun devil?
I feel like for sure she wants the gun devil dead, but I don't know. She's got some motive. I know that. There's got to be something.
Yeah. She's up to no good.
Yeah. I mean, she may be doing it for the good, but there's a motive somewhere in there.
Yeah, she puts together that it's likely that all of the attacks were put together by the Gun Devil, and they're after Denji. Yeah. So she does. She definitely knows something about Denji's heart that only she knows.
Yeah, she knows something about the chainsaw and everything. Well, she knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm. It's also a little bit, if you think about it, from episode one, when Denji gets brought to the, what is that gang called? The Hakuza?
Yakuza.
The Yakuza.
It's Yakuza, sorry.
The Yakuza.
Yeah.
He gets brought to the Yakuza warehouse, and they're all obviously zombies now, but after he defeats all of them, Makima shows up with one other person, and she's like a bigwig. Kind of makes you think maybe the whole thing was a setup, like she put the zombie person there to make them become a zombie to bring Pochta and Denji there. And then it just so happened that instead of her getting to capture the Chainsaw Devil, it merged with Denji.
Yeah. I don't know.
Because, like, why was she there?
Maybe they heard of a devil there. Yeah.
Because that devil wasn't that strong compared to what we've seen.
No.
But anyways. She tells Kurose, the boy, that she's going to need him to borrow 30 convicts, and tells Tendo to find the nearest temple with the highest altitude and reserve it. She also asks for some new clothes. So, quite a tall order. Find me 30 convicts, temple with a high altitude, reserve it, and some new clothes. Next thing we see is some convicts being transported in a van. They're all eating some sandwiches. They're like, where are we going? And the guards are like, shut the fuck up back there. You don't have any rights, you piece of shit.
Shut the fuck up, man.
They don't even say anything back. They just all go back to eating their sandwiches. Like, oh, fuck. I was just trying to find out where we're going. Damn.
Yeah. It was like their last good meal.
Yeah.
It looks
one guy's eating like a decent sandwich. One guy was just eating a PB&J.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like when we get there. It looks like
they're dead.
Yeah, I know they're dead, but it looks like at least they died peacefully compared to the other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They definitely had the better end of the deal on that one. Now we go over to Makima. She's putting on some fresh clothes. The animators give us a shot of her buttocks in her woman suit. And then her pulling up the tie, then Tendo comes in and is like, hey, the convicts are arrived. And she's like, good, good. Now we go back over to Denji and Samurai Swordman. They're loading Denji up in a van, and this is when the episode gets good. Samurai Sword tells Sawatari that he's going to be out of commission for a while because he's taking a lot of damage. He's bleeding. He's got holes in him. She's like, that's fine. We don't need you anymore. And one of the guys is like, hey, come help me load this dude in. Like, grab the other end. He goes to get the other end of Denji. He's like, what do I grab? He's like missing the bottom half of his body. And then this crow shows up and it's like, caw, caw. And all of a sudden he stops and he like starts sweating immediately. And he's like, and he's looking around and they're like, dude, what? He's like, something's wrong. And Sawatari's like, explain it. What do you mean something's wrong? And he's like, really starts to freak out at this point. And I'm as a viewer, I'm like, what the hell is going on? What did this crow do? And right when he says again, something is wrong, he, from the top of his head down, just gets smashed into nothing. And the only thing that's left of these people are their clothes and blood. I mean, what an introduction to whatever power this is that Makima has.
Yeah, she just, like, crushes him.
Like a freaking can of Coca-Cola.
It's, yeah. Smash. Like, there's nothing left.
No. There's nothing left. So, Watari, right away, she gets on the radio, and she's like, Team E, have Team C verify Makima's body. So she knows there's nobody that could have done this. It's Makima. Then the guy on the other end of the radio is like, yeah, nobody's heard from TC since the, and then before he can even finish, he gets smashed. And then there were two crows there, and they fly away. And then we go back and we see that Makima has all the convicts, and Kudosei and Tendo are also blindfolded. But the reason that Kudosei and Tendo are blindfolded is because they do not have the clearance to know what Makima's devil contracts are. Which is pretty freaking cool, honestly. It's like, oh, they got some hierarchy. This is legit. They don't get to, nobody gets to know. She gets to keep it a secret.
So those two got to be like pretty low on the totem pole.
Yeah.
Compared to like what we see with Aki, and I'm guessing, I guess they're really low, like lower than them. Well,
I mean, we don't know what.
Yeah. Because what's that chick's name that we saw with the knife? She likes the knife.
Kobanai,
yeah. So she's a rookie too, so.
Yeah.
Which she's pretty good, actually, surprisingly.
I know. So Makima goes up to one of the convicts and she says, "Say the name Shuzu Mishima." The guy says it, she smiles, stands up, and then she does this weird twisting motion with her hands. And then the other guy that was loading up Denji gets smashed into the oblivion. This goes on, she goes to another guy and says, "Say the name Takashi Inoue." The guy says it, that guy gets smashed, and then this time we see that the convict that says it, after he says it, he just falls over. Probably their heart stops or something. It looks like a quick, painless death, because none of them make any sounds. They just fall over.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the next person would be like, "No, I ain't fucking saying it." You hear all these people say a name and then explode, you'd be like, "I ain't saying it."
No.
Then she goes on a smashing spree and starts killing all the people that had guns. So let's talk about her power for a second. Do you think that the crows were her eyes to find out who the people were?
Yeah, I think the crows like basically could see what was happening. That's why I think she's got to have like multiple contracts. Like, I don't know if like there's a devil that would give her foresight like distance away, and then able to crush people using a different body of different people. That's why I'm saying there's got to be something. And basically, she's still alive after being shot in the head, point blank.
All right, here's a crazy twist for you. Maybe she has a angel contract because we have that angel in the opening.
I mean, maybe.
And that's what makes hers different.
I mean, it's possible, because we have seen the angel, and I know he's got to get introduced here pretty soon if there's only, what, that was episode 9?
Yeah.
9, yeah. Like, 3 or 4 more left, so.
Yeah, we'll see. We go back over to Sawatari. She says it's over. I think that they've basically, at this point, given up on taking Chainsaw Man, because they're both pretty freaked out. Makima tells Tendo and Kudosei that they can take off their blindfolds now.
I just thought it was weird, like, she was out of body, so she couldn't kill anymore. Why didn't they just try to risk taking him? Like, I feel like they could have.
Yeah.
Because there was nobody else there. Like, she ran out. She said that's all she could do.
I think that they were spooked. Like, they didn't know that she was out. I think that they were like, "Let's get the fuck out of here while we can."
Yeah, well, I guess they would have, but then, yeah, what's her name showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I thought. I just thought, like, they just fucking left him there. Like, he's right there next to the van. But, yeah, I forgot.
He is right there, literally. Yeah. Has no leg. Can't do anything. He's unconscious.
Yeah, but then, yeah, she showed up, so. Never mind.
Yeah, Makima, she tells Kendo and Kudosei, "Take off your blindfolds now. We've done all we can do from here, but now I need to go to Tokyo." And we go back over to Sawatari and Samurai Sword. And Kobanai, the girl with a knife, she shows up. She's alive. She says, you two are with the shooters, aren't you?" And it's so funny to me that she has a freaking knife with her again.
I know. I think she carries it with her ever since that day.
Like, is this your thing? Are you a knife person? What, is this part of your devil contract? Like, why are you walking around with a fucking knife?
I bet she's glad she did today.
Yeah. So Watari, she gives up another nail right away. Right when she sees Kobanai, she's like, I ain't risking this shit. Because they were already pretty spooked. She says, tail. And the tail, instead of like swallow it whole that she said last time, she just says tail, but it still takes a nail. You see the nail off her middle finger float off of it and then disappear. But Kobanai has some moves. She jumps on the tail, makes its way all the way over to Samurai Sword, cuts off his arm, and then shoots him in the back twice.
She does that. I'm fast as fuck, boy. Fast as fuck.
Yeah, she does.
She pulled
now,
it off.
Now, these moves that she pulled off, do you think that that was just her physical ability, or do you think that that was part of her devil contract?
I think that was, I want to say, part of her physical ability.
Damn, she's got potential. She could go the distance in this show if she wanted.
Yeah, I'm sure she's got a contract, but we didn't see like anything afterwards showing like, maybe unless it takes like a piece of her mind because she's fucking going crazy. But, But I don't know.
Yeah, well, she does all this awesome stuff, cuts off the arm of Samurai Swordman, and then what does she do? She lets him get away. When she had them in the palm of her hand, they're running away scared. She just lets him get away.
Yep.
Am I the only one that felt that way?
Yeah, I was
like
she
I'm thinking, at least kill one of them. You just dominated them.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought. You were... Go for it. Hell.
Yeah, cut off the dude's other arm at least. Make him grow back two of them instead of one.
Yeah.
Anyways, they get away. She's holding Denji. And she says, we finally get her apology. I'm sorry I tried to kill you the other day. And then she starts to laugh. Like, in hysteria. Apologizing for attempted murder. What the heck? And then we see the flashback of how she killed the person that tried to kill her and successfully killed Adai. She, like, ends up behind them, puts the gun up to their chin and pulls the trigger so they shoot themselves. So she's a killer.
Yeah.
She's trained.
She's trained to kill.
Yeah, she's got moves. She's physically gifted. She's like, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Next time I see Himeno, I'm going to tell her I'm quitting.
No, you ain't.
You ain't going to see her again, I can tell you that.
Man, I tell you, she did.
And we go back over to Makima, Tendo, and Kudose. And they're meeting a new guy, or we are meeting a new guy. His name is Madoka. And at first, I'm like, oh shit, glasses guy, but you can't see his eyes. That's when you know this dude's fucking smart. You give me an anime character and they got glasses on, but it's just reflection that you see.
Yeah.
Watch out for that guy. He's a brainiac. Or a bad guy. But he has the same scar as Tendo and Kudose, which I mentioned earlier, just right across the middle of the nose. Across the whole face, actually. And he tells them that just about everyone is dead except for the non-humans of the Tokyo teams. And he also tells her that comes down from the top that divisions 1, 2, and 3 will now be absorbed into team 4 and it will be under Makima's command. And then he hands her his resignation letter and is like, public safety is not seeming like a good place to be right now. I feel like I have to either choose to quit or choose to die. And she's just like, huh, okay. And then as she's walking away, Madoka's like, there's one last thing I'm curious about. She stops, and he says, how much of what happened today did you anticipate, Ms. Makima? And she gives quite the answer. She says, I'm afraid I can't share public safety intel with private citizens. Yeah. Thank you for your service, Madoka. I'll pass this along.
Should have asked it before you handed her your pink slip.
I know. Like, damn, man, you should have seen this coming. I thought you were supposed to be smart with those reflective glasses. Then they're going down an escalator, and Kudasai and Tendo, they're being awkward, and I thought something much more profound was about to happen, like where they're like, hey, Makima, we know you actually got shot. What's going on? But they're just like, hey, so you know we're not actually joining Team 4, right? They're basically just there to help train. They were there to help train in Kyoto. And Makima just says, that's a shame. The dining in Tokyo is to die for. And the episode ends.
Yeah.
So many questions I have about Makima. It's very difficult. I'm sure it is for you, too, to not look up what the heck's going on in the show, but do not look it up.
Yeah.
Because
it'll just send me down a rabbit trail.
Yeah, yeah. It's just too good. It's enjoyable to find this stuff out as you watch the show instead of no going in. But another great episode. That was episode 9. We finally got to see Makima's powers. Apparently she can't die, or if she does, she's got one hell of a contract to bring her back.
Yeah.
She's got the power to put holes in people the size of cannonballs. She's got power to make other people say someone's name, and then she can smash them and send them into oblivion. She's got the power to fake a death. I mean.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's just all one devil or multiple contracts or, yeah, something, or like you said, an angel.
You know what's like crazy about her contract is like she was killing all of those people with a devil, but the contract that she has is technically like she's subletting it. So she made a deal with the devil to where she's like, I want you to kill people for me, and in exchange, I will give you someone else's life. Because it's literally no skin off her back. She goes to a convict, they're blindfolded because they can't know what her quirk is, or not quirk, her devil contract is. They say a name, the devil's like, sweet, now when you kill that person, this person that said the name is mine. They don't do anything to Makima.
Yeah.
So it's honestly brilliant what she's done. She's controlling the kills, but doesn't have to give up any part of her body to get them, like Aki and Himeno and everybody else does.
Yeah, so that's what's weird, so.
But the big question this episode for me is, other than Makima and everything else, is where did power go?
Yeah. I'm sure she'll show back up, but
I have a feeling she's going to show up first scene of next episode. Gonna be like, hey Denji, I brought you your legs.
Yeah, something like that. I got the other half of your body.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything else. I know it's late. Should we wrap this thing up?
Yeah, another great episode though.
Yeah. Everybody, if you have not already, please, please, please go give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We need some more 5-star reviews. Tell your friends, family, people you work with, anybody that you run into that watches anime, tell them to tune into that anime podcast. And hit us up on Instagram. I know that I have not been posting lately. I apologize. It's mostly because you can no longer screen record, so my means of getting content to post is significantly more difficult, but I get it. Copyright reasons. But go ahead and follow us on Instagram, That Anime Podcast. And yeah, those 5-star reviews, I can't thank you in advance enough. And thank you for everybody that already has. We continue to climb the anime podcast ranks, but we need your help to continue.
Indeed.
But I'm Jordo.
Colton.
We are the Evans Bros, otherwise known as the Casual Anime Fanatics. Thank you everybody for listening. Have a great week, and as always, peace out.